phishing scams are probably one of the oldest scams on the books. And you would think that would mean we know a lot about them and we can avoid being duped. But what's interesting is new information just came out from the Better Business Bureau. In fact, it's a 2024 phishing scams study. And it shows that in 2023, complaints to the BBB about phishing scams nearly doubled, which is a record high. And the current year's reports are trending up. So clearly, phishing is on the rise, and it continues to be a real problem. So we have Kristen Johnson back with us from the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut to talk about this new study and what we can take away to better protect ourselves from phishing scams. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. And, you know, I do want to start with probably one of the most elementary questions, but this whole conversation wouldn't mean anything if people don't understand. What is phishing? P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. What is a phishing scam?
So phishing takes many forms, but at its core, it's a cybercrime in which scammers attempt to contact their target to get them to hand over sensitive personal information.
So is that like when we have like those text messages from UPS, for example, is that a phishing scam?
That's a phishing scam. An email saying your Netflix account is about to expire, that's a phishing scam. Anything where you're asked to put in your name, your address, your social security number, banking information is a phishing scam. And from the cybersecurity experts that we talk to and from BBB scam tracker reports, we found that these scams have been leveraged in every type of scam out there, from cryptocurrency scams to romance scams, government imposter scams. A lot of them use phishing as pretty much the base of that scam, because what they're trying to do is steal your personal information and then get money out of you.
And you know what's so scary about this, Kristen, is even though it's been around for so long, it just seems to be evolving or modernizing itself. So like you said, it can come in so many different forms: email, text message, voicemails, calls, even through malware, which is really scary because some people are still trying to grasp that, me included. I mean, just trying to figure out things like how a webcam could be exposed to this. So this is something I think people really need to understand could impact anyone. And in fact, you can kind of speak to that more, Kristen. Is this something that is more for an older demographic, or is phishing really impacting anyone who basically is connected to technology?
To a device, really. It started off in the 90s. It was used in emails, those fake emails, making you think that it's a business that you commonly shop at. Or like I said, now it could be like Netflix or something, trying to get your personal information. But it's really evolved because over time, scammers have figured out how to use technology to their advantage. You know, one of the tips we always give is you can tell if it's a scam because there's poor grammar, there's misspellings. That's not always the case now, thanks to AI. Cybersecurity experts we spoke to for this study tell us that they're now harnessing AI to make those messages indiscernible from legitimate messages, because even though they're half a world away and they may not have the best command of the English language, they can use AI to write their messages more clearly. And so they will type the way we type, they'll sound the way we talk, and you don't know whether it's real or fake.
Yeah, like I said, that's why, even though it's been around for so long, it has evolved. It hasn't sat in the same form that we used to know it 30 plus years ago. And we have Kristen Johnson here of the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut. We are talking about a 2024 phishing scams study that the BBB just released. And some of the statistics that were in that report, Kristen, pretty alarming. It says reports across North America from 2021 to 2023, the BBB scam tracker had over 19,000 reports of phishing scams, and the FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center, 962,508 complaints. So let's also just factor in the fact that those are probably grossly under the number of actual phishing scams, because a lot of people don't report it.
That's right. The Justice Department estimates only 15% of people report being scammed because of the embarrassment that they feel. They feel like they're the only ones that have ever, you know, fallen for this. They feel dumb about it and they don't want people to know. A lot of times they don't even share it with their family and friends, let alone the public. So unfortunately, those numbers are very low.
So, Kristen, here's a question, because you just mentioned before that spelling errors, for example, are a clear red flag. But red flags are not as easy to detect these days with phishing scams. What would you say are some real phishing scam red flags for 2024?
So you mentioned it. We've talked about it on the show before, that text message from the Postal Service saying your package cannot be delivered because the address is missing. Stop when you get a text message that's really creating this sense of urgency, and think about a couple of things. Does this company, business, or organization usually text you or email you if it's the case where you're getting an email? The Postal Service is not going to text you telling you they're having a problem delivering your package. That's a red flag. Government imposter, someone emailing you saying you owe back taxes or you owe something. We had a guy in Connecticut lost $250. He was trying to sign up for Global Entry, and he thought he was on the government's website, and he wasn't. But not only did he lose that money, but they asked all of the information that you would ask if you were filling out a Global Entry form. So they asked questions about his criminal background, about his address, different things that they can use now against him, which is really, really, really scary. So not only was he out a few $100, but now they know his driver's license. They even ask questions about future and past travel. So now they can use that to try to scam him in the future because they have all of this personal information about him. So I would definitely say, when you feel like there's a sense of urgency behind a message, just take a step back, because that's definitely a red flag. Another red flag is where they pair a very generic message with a logo of a well-known company. That's a red flag, because normally if it was, you know, a company that you shop at, they would, you know, specifically things about your order, right? You know, ask yourself, does this company usually text me, like I said before? And if they don't, go to their website. You know, there might be like a portal within their website where you can chat with someone about your order. Typically, if there's a problem with a delivery, you're not going to get a text from UPS or FedEx. The company you bought that shirt from is the one that's going to contact you saying, oh, there was an issue with the delivery. So a couple of things you could do is you could look in a previous email from a previous order that you know is legitimate, and use that contact information. Or look up the website. But be careful, because one phishing scam is to create fake websites of companies. So you really want to look closely at the URL. They're really good at copying logos and fonts and that sort of thing, and colors. So you really want to look at the URL and make sure that you're on the correct website. And then email domains. What is after the @? If it's an email, after the @ should be the name of the company, the characters. That's another red flag.
So again, we have Kristen Johnson here of the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut. And Kristen, how can businesses better protect themselves? And how can people, other than obviously spotting red flags, are there things we could do to better protect ourselves from this?
Yeah. Business email compromise is huge. Companies are losing millions of dollars. I think the average loss, $147,000, because what they do is they'll get into the email, they'll pretend to be a superior, and then they'll ask someone to send them information that will compromise the business. Then they can get into those businesses' accounts. So they'll ask the person, pretend their boss, and say, hey, I need you to send XYZ gift cards. So they not only can get a hold of the business's financials, they can sometimes get a hold of the employee's financials. So that's very dangerous. You definitely want to verify unknown emailed invoices before paying them. That's very common. Oh, you owe this much money for this job that we did for you. Definitely want to make sure, you know, to have that conversation with the people that work for you so that they know what steps they need to take before paying those invoices. Obviously, confirm the emails. Again, make sure that it's coming from the right source by looking at that email domain. Implementing multi-factor authentication. That means not just a password, but you'll get a text message that'll have a code that you have to put in. And just creating policies, putting policies on paper so that everyone is aware of what their responsibility is in protecting the the information of that company.
And I always say to Kristen that knowledge is power. And if you have younger people in your life, if you have teenage kids or if you have children who are adults, but maybe they don't listen to talk radio, for example, and that's okay. Please pass this information along to them, because something that Kristen said right in the beginning is phishing scams know no limits. So as long as you are connected to technology, and that does include, I'm going to say it, even elementary school age kids, there are kids who have cell phones and they have email addresses and they are on social media and they get text messages. So anybody you can think of in your life who is connected to technology, they could become victim to a phishing scam. So don't just keep the information for yourself or for your place of business, but share it with your family and definitely share it with the younger generation, because they may very well click on that link just because they're either distracted or they don't know any better. And that's okay. But don't keep the knowledge for yourself. Knowledge is power. Share it with the next generation. If people want more information on this, they want to see the scam study. I mean, it's a very, I thought it was very well outlined and very user-friendly, but people want more information on it. Where can they go, Kristen?
BBB.org/scam studies has this and all of our other previous studies and investigations.
And of course, if you want to report a scam as well, we always encourage you to go to bbb.org/scam tracker. Kristen Johnson, I want to thank you so much for sharing all of this information with us. Some great tips, and hopefully we can continue to protect people from scams like the ones that we're talking about this morning. Thank you so much.
That's the goal. Thank you.
All right. And again, Kristen Johnson of the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut. If you want to see more on the phishing scams study, go to bbb.org/scam studies. We'll be right back. You're listening to WACC.